If you would turn to Ezekiel chapter 34 today, we are going to be looking at an interesting passage out of the Old Testament by an interesting prophet, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, I believe it's on page 722 in your pew Bible there. We don't have pews. Why do we always say that? In the chair in front of you. You know, we got done singing that song, He Will Hold Me Fast, and isn't it interesting that the world probably would have no resonance with that song, you know? Why would I want God to hold me? This idea of crawling up into God, you know, God the Father's lap and just being held as an adult. We are self-made men and women as Americans, you know, we are strong and powerful. But that song is so comforting, and it speaks to what I believe is being communicated this morning, that the Good Shepherd cares for us. The Good Shepherd cares for our soul, that we are sheep, and sheep are stupid, and sheep are prone to wander. Sheep get lost, but the Good Shepherd loves his sheep. The Good Shepherd tends to his sheep. The Good Shepherd goes after his sheep, and the Good Shepherd cares for his sheep. It is good to be in the shepherd's arms. This world is scary. This world is tough. We don't need to be strong. Our good shepherd protects us. So this morning we're looking at the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, but we're doing so through the filter of Ezekiel chapter 34. In the context, Ezekiel is a prophet during the time of the exile. So both kingdoms, the north and the south, have been sacked. They have been conquered by this time. And the northern kingdom is 722. The northern kingdom is destroyed. But then the southern kingdom, Jerusalem, it's destroyed in 586. And the Babylonians come in and they remove like a lot of the population, all the wise people, the artists, the people who can do stuff and make money, the people who are wise and intelligent, smart and leaders. And they take the cream of the crop and they remove them from Jerusalem. They take them to Babylon. And so Ezekiel is one of these individuals who was removed from his home, marched all the way, probably naked, by the way, all the way to Babylon in shame. The Lord tells him, though, to speak to the exiles. Buy houses. Marry. Have kids. You're going to be here for a while. Much like the exile in the wilderness, the exodus for 40 years, these people are going to be here in Babylon for a while. So dwell, you know, root in, and you're going to be in it for the long haul. But here's the thing. In spite of Jerusalem being conquered because of sin, the Lord tells Ezekiel that sin is still prevalent back home, that the leadership within the remnant of Israel is still weak, that the leadership within the remnant of Israel is still corrupt, that these leaders, these shepherds, will be called into judgment, that they have not been taken care of, God's people, even in exile. And so that's the context of these 24 verses. As we begin this morning, the Lord speaks to the shepherds who have not been taken care of God's flock. Read with me verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Shepherds who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones. But you do not feed the sheep. The Lord's first criticism to these shepherds are that they do not feed the sheep. They do not feed the people. Instead, they fleece the sheep. These individuals that the Lord has appointed to watch over His people are not watching over His people. They are not feeding them, feeding the rich nutrients of the Word of God. But they're twisting the words Lord's, the Lord's words to their own means, their own gain. You know, in the headlines just this weekend, a certain name has popped up, and I'm not afraid to say it, but Joel Osteen's name has popped up this week because Kanye West is doing a big worship service at his, see it, see the air quotes, church. 50,000 people who worship in an arena every single Sunday to hear this man speak the prosperity gospel. Some of you are going to be offended. That's okay. But this man who has an $18 million home, at least one home, right? Who has never claimed to be a pastor, by the way. This is interesting. Just do an internet search. He never claims to be a pastor. His wife claims to be a co-pastor. You'll see that. But he himself never claims to be a pastor. He was running the media, the video, when his daddy was preaching. His daddy kicked the bucket, and he took over. He's never been to seminary. Not that you need it. But he's definitely not orthodox. What he preaches is not, listen to me, send me money. Here, listen to me, you'll get blessed by having more money. It's a new prosperity gospel that says, do these things and you'll be blessed physically. Do these things and you'll be blessed socioeconomically, socially, emotionally, mentally. And, you know, the old Kenneth Copelands, the Benny Hinns, they would say, send your money and you'll be blessed financially. This guy's saying, come to my church, send the money, buy my book, whatever, and you'll be blessed emotionally. You'll be blessed mentally. You'll be blessed physically. It's the prosperity gospel repackaged, basically proclaiming that if you just do these things, if you trust hard enough, if you faith enough, your life will get better. But remember, folks, we follow a Lord and Savior who suffered on a cross. A Lord and Savior who called us to pick up our cross and follow Him. Which means you and I have been called to a life of suffering, not to a life of prosperity. Now the Lord will bless us. He will prosper us. But that doesn't always mean financially. And that doesn't always mean in terms of good health. Can I get an amen from anyone? And anyone who's suffering today, physically, anyone, raise your hands. Anyone who's suffering emotionally today? Mentally? Relationally? Guess what? You're not alone. And guess what the Bible says? You're going to suffer. These individuals have not been feeding the people of God the true word of God. They've been feeding them lies. And so I'm going to offend some people, but Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Paula White, Benny Hinn, Joyce Myers, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar. Millionaires, multimillionaires. Where are they getting all this money from? Fleecing. Folks, the prosperity gospel will make you feel good. But what happens when it doesn't deliver? What happens when you don't feel good the next day? What happens when you're still sick, when you still end up in the hospital, when you still can't sleep at night? The Lord is against these shepherds because they were about themselves and not about the people. Instead of feeding them, they were eating them. Number four, or verse four. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, that's literally the broken you have not mended, you know, their legs are broken and they didn't bother to even put them in a cast or anything. The strayed, those that have strayed away, scattered, you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness, you have ruled them, dominated them. This, the idea is that they haven't brought healing. They brought more misery. They haven't brought healing. They brought more harm. So second, they did not tend the wounds of the people. They saw them as objects. They didn't even see the hurt, the pain. They did not tend the wounds of the people, but only inflicted more harm upon them. You know, and I'll say this, I'll admit this, I've been guilty of this myself. You know, I've been preaching for 12 years, pastoring for 12 years, doing my best. But there's been times, you know, I haven't seen the hurt in everybody. I've been focused on myself. You know, I've been hurt and so I inflict my hurt upon others. But the hard truth is here, the Lord says to these shepherds, I'm against you. I'm against you. You should have been taking care of the flock. But you've only been doing more harm, more damage to them. Verse 5, they were scattered. So therefore they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became what? Food for all wild beasts. What happens when there's no shepherd to protect the sheep? They become prey to predators. So my sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. So third, these shepherds did not gather the people around themselves to protect them from predators. What did these shepherds not do? They didn't go after the sheep. They did not round them up. They did not gather them together, one, for protection with their staff, with their rod, and two, they didn't gather these stray sheep among the flock itself. If you're a sheep, folks, if you just pretend, right, you're a sheep, okay? Do you want to be with the flock and next to the shepherd, or do you want to be wandering away, 10 miles by yourself? Well, what do you want to do? What would be the wise course of action if you're a sheep? Stick together. Who do the wolves go after? Do they go after the sheep next to the shepherd? The wolves go after the sheep that's the furthest away from the flock, right? And we live in a day and an age where people say church isn't important. It's important, folks. You know who Satan goes after first? The one who's isolated. These shepherds, so in the pastoral sense, you know what part of my job is? Come on. Let's gather. Come on. We gotta get together. We gotta stay together. Unity, focus, mission. Don't be off by yourself. It's important to be here. They weren't true shepherds. They didn't know what it meant to love people. It was okay for the sheep to wander off. You know why? Because they didn't really love that sheep. You know what a sign of love is? Going after the sheep. Right? Someone wanders off, I don't care, that's fine. You know, and you think about it, like, I'm just gonna meddle here with some of you. But you know, oh, there's no people sitting there, and oh, there's no people sitting here, and oh, we should be bigger, oh. You know what the joy of being a small church is? You know when someone's missing. You know, you can go to a lot of churches today and no one will notice. You coming or you going. But look around. We're missing some people today. We can call them up. We can check on them. I know where they're at. I'm the shepherd. I know where they're at. Mostly. But they didn't know their people. And why didn't they know them? Because they didn't care for them. Well, listen to this. God calls shepherds to shepherd his people. This is kind of the thing in the Bible. This analogy, this imagery of a shepherd, it's the thing. It's not nothing new. Ezekiel's not just talking about a particular group, a particular time. The Lord, from the very beginning, has called shepherds to shepherd his people. He has called men, I'm just going to stick there, men who have a shepherd's heart to shepherd his people. Hosea 12:12. Jacob fled to the land of Aram. There Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he guarded sheep. Jacob, who turned into Israel, the 12 tribes, what was he known for? Shepherding. What was his livelihood? Shepherding. How did the Lord bless him? How did the Lord, quote unquote, prosper him? By tending to a bunch of stinky sheep. Moses, guess what? Guess who Moses was before he was called? Do you remember? Moses was keeping the flock. of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. It's not a coincidence that the Lord called Moses. Moses had spent 40 years tending flocks, caring for helpless animals. And then he would spend the next 40 years caring for helpless people. David, you know, the epitome of the great shepherd, Psalm 78, he chose David his servant and took him from the sheep folds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. This isn't just Ezekiel thing. It's not just this time and place. You know, this has been the history of God's work, and he has worked through men who used to shepherd and who know what it means to shepherd and who have hearts to shepherd his people. Amos 1:1, even among the prophets, the words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. So, what's my point? My point is, God calls men. God calls men who have shepherds' hearts to lead his people. If you're sitting here today wondering, hey, am I called to lead God's people? Am I called to serve his church in the role of a deacon or even an elder? Let me tell you what is first and foremost of necessity. It is a heart for people. Not a heart to argue. Not a heart to make decisions. But a heart to get down on the ground, in the dirt, in the stink of things, and to love people, to care for people. That is the first requirement for an elder in this church, at least. Elder, pastor, overseer, pastor first, then a great thinker, then a great organizer. 1 Peter 5, 1-4 says, so I exhort the elders among you. Exhort is a harsher word than encourage. I exhort them. I confront them. As a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker, that's koinonia, in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock, command, imperative, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, there's that overseer word, but first the command is shepherd, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly. Not because you have to. There's going to be some days you feel that way. But not under compulsion, but because you love the shepherd and you love his sheep. Willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain. Again, we go back to verses 1-6. They were fleecing the people, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge. That's verses 5 and 6. But being examples to the flock. That's verses 4 and 5, or 3 and 4. And when the chief shepherd, that's the Lord Jesus, appears, and folks, he will appear one day, amen, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I'm choosing this passage this morning because a couple things are going on in the life of our church. One, we got this guy over here, Don, who's an elder candidate, and we need to know what a shepherd should look like, and we need to evaluate and ask, is this guy a man who loves people? Second, you got Kyle and I, and you gotta ask the question, are Kyle and I men who love people? You know, how are we doing? Tonight I mentioned is our covenantal business meeting, covenantal family meeting. We're gonna vote on the budget, yay. But we're also going to introduce a new constitution. And I'll tell you, behind that constitution is the issue of authority and its vestment in Kyle and I at this point, or the congregation. Our old constitution put a lot of authority in Kyle and I. We've been feeling convicted that the authority ultimately needs to be in the congregation. So come and figure out what's happening, okay? I mean, come and see. But the point is, you guys, if the Lord is against the shepherds of His church, guess what the congregation should be? The congregation should be against the shepherds of that church as well. It's ultimately the job of the congregation to call foul, to step in, and to right wrongs if the shepherds are fleecing the people, if the shepherds are doing more harm than good, if the shepherds are abandoning the people. It's the congregation's responsibility to confront bad shepherds. You understand? So the second sermon is happening at 6 o'clock tonight. Come and listen to that as well. Okay? God calls men with shepherd's hearts to lead His people. That's the point though. But these false shepherds didn't feed the sheep, instead fleeced them. These false shepherds didn't tend to the wounds of the sheep, but only inflicted more harm. And these shepherds didn't gather the sheep, but continue to scatter them further, leaving them exposed to predators. So therefore, verse 7, because of all of this, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths so that they may not be food for me. The Lord will be the shepherd to His people. And the truth is, the Lord, folks, has always been the shepherd of His people. And any pastor is just an under-shepherd. The true shepherd is the Lord. Genesis 49:24, yet His bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by whom? By the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. The Lord has always been the shepherd of His people, but He has delegated some oversight, some authority to His under-shepherds. Here, the Lord says, I'm going to step back in. I'm going to be the revealed shepherd. In verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. He's going to do everything that the false shepherds in verses 1 through 6 were not doing. I myself, it's emphatic. I will search for my sheep and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. On a day of clouds and thick darkness, even if it's dark, even if there's lightning, He is going to go out and find them. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. Notice how far these sheep have wandered on their own. Distance is not an issue to Him. He is going to go out, traipse out, find these sheep and bring them back to Him. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. And I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Just look how many times He says, I. Folks, the Lord is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. He is going to do these things. We live in a Christian culture where so many Christians come to church looking for the pastor to do it, looking for the church to do it. But guess what? It's the shepherd who does this work. The Lord will shepherd His people. To summarize these six verses here, the Lord will seek out His sheep. The Lord will rescue His sheep. The Lord will gather His sheep. The Lord will feed His sheep. The Lord will protect His sheep. The Lord will go after the lost and the strayed sheep. The Lord will tend to the broken sheep. The Lord will strengthen the weak sheep. And guys, the Lord will judge and destroy the fat sheep. What does that mean? Those who have fed on the sheep. Those who weren't really sheep to begin with. Verse 17, as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God. Notice He's not talking to the shepherd. He's talking to the people. As for the flock, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep. Between ram and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? And to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, like literally goring the other sheep. So you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. You know, in Matthew 25, the Lord speaks of this future judgment, of this separation that will occur. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but on the goats His left. The church has always been full of more than just sheep. The church has always been full of sheep and goats and even wolves. One day the Lord will separate the sheep from the goats. The Lord will bring judgment upon those of whom He is against. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Verse 23. What's the end of all this? I will set up over them one shepherd. The Lord's gonna do this. The Lord's gonna cause this to happen in the Hebrew. He's gonna cause one shepherd to be raised up above all others. He says, my servant David. And that's confusing because David's dead, right? Right? David's dead. So He's not talking about King David. He's talking about the other David, the one to come. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. It's emphasized in the Hebrew, He shall feed them, and He shall be their shepherd. And then I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Isn't it good to hear the word of the Lord? Isn't it good to know that the word of the Lord is not only true, but it's going to happen. It can't be changed. It can't be rewritten. Here we see the coming of Messiah. Not David who's dead and who has been buried in a tomb for 500, I don't know how many years. Lots of years. 922 BC. But the one to come, the long-awaited promised Messiah, in a different passage, Ezekiel refers to him again. In Ezekiel 37:25, he says, "They shall dwell in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children shall dwell there forever, and David, my servant, shall be their prince forever." These sheep will be gathered together in one land, and this guy David will be the prince over them. Isaiah prophesied about this coming David. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with the young. This is our Lord and Savior. Isn't that the cutest little lamb in the world? I mean, don't you want to just hold it? The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. According to Ezekiel, he's coming. Now we know he came. And now we, on the other end, are saying the same things that Ezekiel said. He's coming. We're moving into Advent in 2 weeks, and we're going to not only celebrate his past coming, but we're going to celebrate his future coming. You got this cute little lamb, you know, and I read this, he will tend his flock like a shepherd, he will gather lambs. Don't you want to just hang out in Jesus' arms? Aren't some days just tough? And isn't it nice to know that the Lord Jesus sees us as that cute? Because we're not that cute, right? John takes offense to that. But the Lord Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. And he will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, next to his heart, and gently lead those that are with the young. Jeremiah spoke of the coming Messiah in 23:5. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as a king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Well, folks, the good news is the shepherd has come. This promised shepherd has come, and his name is Jesus. Isn't it nice to know that the Lord Jesus has come? The shepherd has come. John 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The Lord Jesus came. The Messiah came. The good shepherd came to gather the Father's sheep to himself. This good shepherd came and he did what a good shepherd should have done. He laid down his life for the sheep. He fought the enemy. He loved these stupid, dumb sheep so much that he was willing to fight for them and give up his life to protect them. This is the gospel. Matthew 26:31, Jesus said to them, "You all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." On that night, the Lord Jesus was taken. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was nailed on a cross. And he was struck for us, in place of us, on behalf of us, because of his love for the Father and his love for us. And in that moment, the disciples couldn't understand it. They scattered. They just ran for it. But guess what? 3 days later, Good Shepherd standing there. The Good Shepherd enters into that home, and the sheep swarm on him, right? They don't recognize him at first, but once they do, they swarm on him. The Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, died for us, rose for us, and calls out to us that we would gather with him. This morning, ask yourself, are you under the care of the Good Shepherd? Have you put yourself under the protection of this good shepherd? Have you seen and understood and experienced the love that this good shepherd has for you? If you've ever worked with sheep, sheep are stupid. I have never, but that's what they say. They're prone to wander. They're prone to scatter. They're always getting hurt. They are so weak and so unprotected, so prone to outside predators. This morning, if you have never come under the care and protection of the shepherd, this morning will you choose to stop wandering alone by yourself? Will you come to the shepherd? Will you enter into his flock? John 10:7, Jesus said again to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." If you can recognize yourself as a sheep this morning, as a pathetic little creature who can't fend for himself, can't protect himself, is really not that smart. Jesus says here, he is the door of the sheep. He's the door for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. All this world has to offer, guys, is thievery and robbery. It just takes, and it just takes, and it just takes, and it just takes. The sheep did not listen to them. The sheep who came to me did not listen to the world. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. If you want true pasture, if you want true feeding, if you want life, then you walk through the door that is Jesus, and who is also the shepherd. He is the shepherd. And he controls the pen gate. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. If you've never put yourself under the care of the shepherd, will you this morning? There's two other things I want to address tonight again. We're looking at a new constitution. We're looking at giving more authority to the congregation, more safeguards, so that we as a people would help the leadership that he's given to us to make sure we are operating under his shepherding, that, you know, we're not going wayward. A little bit more checks and balances, decision points this morning in regard to this message. We are a flock, and the Lord has given gifts to his church in the form of teachers and pastors and prophets and all those. And so Kyle and I operate in that by God's grace. Don, might, will, whatever. But the flock is what's loved. The under shepherds aren't loved any more than the flock is. And so come tonight so we can flesh some more of this out. But the other thing is for us as sheep, the big question is, how far away have you wandered from the flock? Not just from the shepherd, but from the flock. Are you connected to the flock? There are no individual sheep that live apart from the flock. Let me say that again. There are no individual sheep who live apart from the flock. Why? Because they get picked off. Or maybe they were never sheep to begin with. Dare I say such a thing? Any sheep wandering away from the flock, any sheep wandering away from the shepherd of that flock is going to get picked off. But smart sheep, loving sheep, stick close to the shepherd. And in order to stick close to the shepherd, they have to stick close to one another because the shepherd leads from the middle. So can I just say that once again? If you're a smart sheep, you're going to stay close to the shepherd. But in order to stay close to the shepherd, you must stay close to the flock because the shepherd leads from the middle of the flock. So, are you part of the flock? wandering this far away, that far away, that much further away, just brings more danger. Maybe you need to return not just to the shepherd, but to the flock this morning. The good news is that Jesus is the good shepherd. The good news is that he loves his flock. Luke 15:4-5, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. This morning, no matter how far you've gone away, no matter how far you've wandered, the good news is that the shepherd loves his sheep and goes after his sheep. And guess where he brings them? Back to his sheep. So let us be a bunch of sheep that aren't stupid, that love the Lord Jesus and love his flock. May he be glorified in that. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, just first and foremost, I thank you that in spite of being like a sheep, helpless, unprotected, foolish, small to the ground, not seeing the bigger world around us, in spite of all that, you love us, that you died for us. Lord, that you loved us and died for us to call us to yourself to be a people of your praise. Lord, that when we fail, when we stagger, even as leaders, you step in and you protect your sheep. Lord, that when we wander as your sheep, you love us enough to come back, to come after us. So Lord, help us to hear your voice this morning. Help us to hear your voice in the darkness, on the hills and the ravines. Lord, call us to yourself once again. And as we turn to you, may we see that you were right behind us all along. Lord, help us to submit ourselves to you, to allow you to pick us up, to carry us like little sheep. Help us to submit ourselves to you and allow you to care for our wounds. Lord, help us to trust the food that you feed us. Help us to trust that there's rest in your pasture, that there's safety in your pasture, that there's joy in your flock. Lord, you are the good shepherd. Remind us of your goodness once again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.